Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
Well, I've been asked to share some remarks just before we as we continue in worship, and man, it has been crazy. On September 6th, my wife and I, we will have been here 2 years in Stockdale. It's crazy. It's so wild, and we have just seen the Lord do just some incredible things in the youth ministry. And we've seen students called to ministry. We've seen students called out of sin, out of darkness, and into His glorious light. And it's been something like no other. And if I'm being completely honest, I remember before I got hired on here by y'all, I was so dissatisfied in my job that I had. I was working in the corporate world and just unfulfilled and just felt like I was in a cog in the machine. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was kind of expressing some dissatisfaction he had in his job that he's in right now. And it dawned on me, and I said, man, I haven't felt that feeling in 2 years. I was like, God has been so good. I was like, I love my job, and I say it seriously. I have the best job in the world. I really do. And it's because of you guys. And when Katie and I came here, the support, Katie's my wife, she's home, she's pregnant, she has morning sickness, she's not here today. She wishes she could be here. Yeah, so we're having a baby, and that's super exciting. And when we were praying about moving here, we were in Fort Worth, and that was a huge part of the conversation. We said, we're probably going to have kids in Stockdale. Does the Lord want us to be in Stockdale? And the answer was yes. And the Lord just provided so many routes and ways for us to arrive here because of you guys. And your generosity and your love towards me and my family and my wife has just been incredible. And their pastors always talk about their first church. And I know typically that's when they become like a lead pastor or something, but you guys will always be my first church. And it's been a good ride so far, and I don't plan on it ending anytime soon. It has been so good, and I can't believe 150 years has come and gone. And y'all, 150 years, unless the Lord comes back, will come quick. And I can't wait for the church in 150 years. None of us will be alive. Hopefully all of us will be with the Lord Jesus, but I hope that they look back on these pictures and these videos, and they're like, man, what a cool time. The Lord was doing something good. And that they get to say presently, in 150 years from now, I don't know what year that'll be, that they get to say the Lord is still doing something good in Stockdale, and God's not done here yet. And I think the people that are sitting in these pews and that water droplet board we have back there is just a testament to what the Lord is doing in our church body. And so as your youth pastor, I'm pumped. I'm thrilled. Like, I still want to press on the gas pedal. Like, the Lord is not done here yet. And yeah, we want to celebrate what the Lord's done, but we're going to embrace today, and we're going to look towards the future, because the gates of hell won't prevail. Amen?
Amen.
And we got a lot of work to do before the Lord returns, and so I'm excited about it. And I just want to say thank you to the church, and here's to another 150 years, you know? Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Well, it is at this time an honor and a privilege for me to be able to invite my father, Pastor Rob Skinner, up here. He is the one that brought my family to this church to begin with, back in the 80s, and so I'm very thankful for the time that we had there, the time that we had here back in the 80s, and I'm thankful that he is here with us today and can share some words. So, Dad, would you come up here?
It's dangerous to hand the microphone over to a preacher, right? But I'm only supposed to speak a little bit, so I'll do a little bit of that. I thank the Lord, as the scripture teaches, for the opportunities to come into the house of the Lord and to praise Him, singing praises to Him, acknowledging Him, hearing the Word, and growing in the Word. And I want to say my best experiences here in this church really were you, the people, going out and visiting. Man, I had so much fun visiting the people in this church. And Kevin told me that's one of the things that really made him just be drawn to come into this way of living. Of course, the Lord called him, but he got to enjoy people like Ms. Whizzy. Now, how many here remember Ms. Wisdom? Yes, she was wonderful. We loved to see her. And I know Kevin and Beth, they couldn't wait to go see Ms. Whizzy. She's always so wonderful. And then Ms. Goodwin, oh, I loved going to see her. And I could keep on naming names, and I'd leave somebody out, so I won't say any more. But anyway, in relation to that, and then I told TC I was going to tell something that involved him. And I think, Larry, you were there when we went out to the RAs, out to some of your property. And there one night when we were sitting there, we looked up in the sky, and we saw something red going across the sky. And TC and I said, that's a UFO. We've never seen one before. You know. Well, it was a UFO for us that night. And then the next day, it was a satellite that was falling, burning, and coming down. But it was an amazing sight to see, because if you get out here in the fields in the country, it's dark. And then you look up and you see that bright light. Well, isn't that like the world? You know, you have to look away from the world to see Jesus. And that's what this church does. It points people out of the darkness into the light. And we bless the Lord for that opportunity to have been called here. And while I was here, I was given the opportunity to do more study. And so I went ahead and got a master's and a doctorate, studied French, and now je parle très bien le français. I can go to France and speak, and my wife has said, I'd never go without you. So, all right. Kevin?
As Brother Skinner said, it's dangerous to give a pastor a microphone. It is also dangerous to give either a worship leader or a preacher's daughter or a preacher's kid a microphone. But anyway, I just wanted to say what a blessing this church is, what a blessing this community is. I came back in 2007. I just, even though I'm just a couple of years older than Palmer, I've been here 17 years. He's been here too, and I just had my 17th anniversary in early August here. And they let this Poth Pirate girl come to the Stockdale, Brahma, or Bramer area, and her coach husband come to this church and have the privilege of leading worship here. And when I got here, my youngest child was one, and my oldest of four was 13, and my children have grown up and graduated, moved on, but what a blessing it has been for the people of this church to love my children, my family, nurture us. Y'all have been here through my husband getting hit by a car, through me having unexpected surgery, through the ups and downs, and celebrated with us, been there with us, fed us through those times when we were going through some hardships. And we know without a doubt, Joe and I know without a doubt, that God brought us here. And what a blessing the last 17 years have been. I haven't beat Howard yet. He was here 18 years. And my hope is, because when I came here, I heard so much about Howard and what a wonderful blessing he had been to this church. And my hope is that when I move on in the future, whenever that is, that I can have been a blessing to this church as well. But what an honor and privilege it is to see the faces of people Sunday after Sunday, of God's people worshiping. I get to stand up here and look at y'all worshiping the Lord, and what an honor and privilege that is. It's been an honor and privilege also to work with Judy and Ginger as wonderful, wonderful instrumentalists. And this worship team, I have two ladies on the front and those here in the back, and Rachel is taking pictures. She's not singing with us this morning. And then my second service worship team, what an honor and privilege it is to be able to worship God and lead Him and worship. So I won't talk too much longer. So let's get on to praising the Lord, because that's what it's all about. Let's join together in singing Standing on the Promises, because God has promised to never leave us, never forsake us, and he has shown his faithfulness throughout the years.
Well, now you get to listen to me for just a little bit. I'm not bringing the message today, but I want to share some things as well as we celebrate the 150-year anniversary. I am in a very unique position because I got to be here as a child before I came as your pastor. And so back in 2021, when the Lord began to work and I told Sarah that I had been contacted by the search committee here at this church and that they were asking me to consider coming to Stockdale. And I remember where we were. We were in the bedroom at the time. Sarah was in the walk-in closet and I was in the bedroom and she was doing some stuff. And so I was just kind of telling her, well, I've talked to the search committee at First Baptist Stockdale. They've asked for me to submit my resume, and she said, well, I guess we're moving to Stockdale. So we just kind of knew that the Lord was at work. We knew that the Lord was going to bring us here. But when we came on that day for our interview with the search committee, they thought that they were going to give me a tour of the parsonage and of the church. But I gave them a tour of the parsonage and the church because both the parsonage and the church were filled with my childhood memories. And so I was able to walk around each room and say, this is what happened here, and this is where I brought a snail into the Sunday school room, and it crawled up the wall as we were learning our lesson that day. And so I shared all of these memories with them, and so... You know, as I think back on all of those memories, certainly this time in my life here as a child was very impactful for me. I remember my dad pastoring this church, certainly more than any other church that he was a pastor of, because I was here until I was 7 years old. We came, I think, when I was 3 years old. And so I was here for the longest time, and I was the oldest while we were here. And so my memories from my dad being a pastor were from here. And I do remember going on hospital visits with my dad and nursing home visits with my dad and visiting people in their homes. And certainly that gave me a love for being a pastor. And so I'm very thankful that the Lord saw it fit that when we moved away in 1989, that was not my last time with this church body. In fact, on my dad's last Sunday here as your pastor, we had a fellowship meal in the old fellowship hall, which was out here. And I remember just being alone in this sanctuary as everybody was in the fellowship hall, and I was just walking on these steps right here thinking, surely this can't be the last time that we're here. Surely this isn't it. And I'm thankful that wasn't it for me. I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me to come back, and I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing right now. And the Lord is doing great things today. If you are visiting with us, you're returning today, the Lord is doing great things today. You'll see in the letter that I wrote in the packet, over the last 3 years, we've seen numerous salvations. We have baptized 85 people in 3 years here. Yeah. On Wednesday nights in the fellowship hall where we currently have our youth ministry, we have between 30 and 40 youth. That's 6th through 12th graders that come out every Wednesday night. And then in this building, we have children's choir, and we have between 60 and 70 kids that come out every Wednesday night. And then we have a women's Bible study and a men's Bible study. And so between all of our volunteers and everyone that's here, we have over 125 people here almost every Wednesday night. And so the Lord is blessing this church, which is why just down the street here on the old Caperton lot, We are building a new youth and children's building, and so you'll see that over there. We're going to have that dedication at 2 p.m. today. We have not raised all of the funds yet. We still need about $196,000 to raise to complete the building, but we're going to dedicate that building today to coincide with our anniversary. But the Lord continues to bless this church, and I believe that as we continue to be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over, the Lord is going to continue to bless this church. Like Palmer said, for another 150 years, we won't get to be here for that, but the Lord will be here. And the Lord will continue to do a work in His people at that time. But we've got our part to play today. We're going to continue to raise up future generations, continuing to train them with God's Word so that they will have a love for the Lord like we have today. And so I am blessed to be your pastor. I'm blessed to celebrate this 150-year anniversary with you. I'm going to bring Becky and the praise team back up here, and we're going to continue in worship this morning.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, it is a joy every Sunday as Judy and Ginger play the offertory. It's such a praise to the Lord, and they do such a beautiful job, and I just appreciate them because they are praising the Lord with their instruments and with their hearts, their minds, their spirit, and that was beautiful. Thank y'all. As y'all know, we had a big celebration yesterday. The house was full yesterday, and Howard Hudeberg is the former worship minister here, and he led in a plethora of songs through the ages, and it was such a joy. He took so much time to do a progression of songs yesterday that started back in the 1700s. Was that? Yes, 1709, and then moved his way up, and we ended with How Great Is Our God to modern times, and it was such a blessing to sing praises to the Lord and hear His people praise the Lord, and I am so excited that Howard and Marianne are here this morning and going to bring special music to us and praise the Lord again this morning. So Howard and Marianne, y'all take it.
Well, I was also asked to make a few remarks. Okay, I'm done. No. I just want to say that the 18 years that we're here, and then we did come back for another year. Remember that, Becky? It's actually 19. You got two more. And what a blessing to be here for so many things. Many of them were hanging on the walls of the fellowship hall. The things that the Lord gave us to do, Christmas, Easter, children's musicals, and it was for me a journey through time to look around and see those. But I'm going to go back before that. When God saved me, I knew He was going to have me doing music. And it actually goes back 20 years before that when I was 10. And I told a Methodist minister that God wanted me to serve Him one day. That happened to be April 10th of 1963. And on April 10th of 1983 was the date that I know I was saved because it was a dramatic conversion for me. It just happened just right then. And looked in that Bible that I had from earlier and noticed the dates were the same, and I just thought, you know, God's timing is amazing. His timing is everything. So then He blessed me with this wonderful woman that's standing over there and her family. And so she is a pianist and a singer and a horn player, and we even played in the Mid-Texas Symphony together when we were younger, but when God called me here, the committee said, well, Howard, does your wife sing? And I said, yeah, she sings a little alto, and because I wanted to keep that as a surprise for them. I am not a singer. I may lead, but this one, Marianne, is a singer. And so we wanted to sing a song. I wanted to have her sing a song today that points to everything everybody has said, which is God has had his hand on this church and has had his eye on this church just as his eye has been on the sparrow.
Say thanks to Howard and Marianne, said that many, many times over the years. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come and to speak for a few moments this morning. I was reminded that there's a clock at the back of the sanctuary, and certainly do want to honor our time. It's always a challenge when you're the last one to speak and you know that the next thing is the food. And so I do want to be sensitive to that. But I thank you for the opportunity to come and to share some of the greatest memories. Being a pastor, have been part of First Baptist Church in Stockdale. There are several things in my home that remind me of the church. One particular item is a framed picture that you presented to me when I left. It's a picture of an eagle flying over some waterfalls, and it has the Isaiah 41 passage, "Those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." In the corner of that picture, there's a little brass plate that says, "Thank you for your service, First Baptist Church, Stockdale, 1990 to 98. Now, Judy, I'm not sure if that's exactly correct. I remember you presenting that, but there is no way that that can be correct because 1990 was 30 years ago. In 1998, I would have been 38 and 39, and that's the age of my son today. So there's no way that could take place, but here we are. But I appreciate you. Appreciate the memories. And again, I know a lot of you that are under a certain age are like, how many times are they going to say that they remember the times? But there's great memories and great opportunities that we've had. It's amazing how times have flown. I was here when the sanctuary was renovated. I was here when we had the new doors, the new pews, and the beautiful windows that were installed. And what a blessing it is to come in all those many, many years and see the beauty that still remains. I can remember a lot of things about the church. My two children were baptized in this baptistry. Many of you have come up to me and say, "You remember back when you performed our wedding ceremony?" Some of you just saying that your loved one had passed away. And during those 8 years, again, of ministry, the number of weddings and celebrations, the good times and the bad times, difficult times, but to be able to be a part and to be invested into your life is certainly a gift that pastors can appreciate. The pastor that I followed was Rob Skinner. Rob was going out. I was pastor in Yorktown, not too far down the road. So I knew Rob and Linda, and I knew their small, two small children, that boy and that girl. And I used to joke that be careful how you treat your children and your young people because one day they may grow up to be your pastor. Well, living proof right here. Yeah, so Kevin, I appreciate you. I appreciate your vision and the incredible things that are taking place in Stockdale. And let me say this. The greatest days of First Baptist Church Stockdale are ahead. It's good to look back. It's good to reflect. It's good to remember. But the best days are still to come. Now, I say that because every church ought to have that attitude. Every church ought to have the attitude and with that awareness that, yes, looking back and reminiscing and all those great times, and I can remember so many great things, but the best days are still ahead. So in this 150th anniversary celebration, I'd like for us to look at a passage of Scripture that goes back a little bit further than that. It goes back over 2,000 years, and that's the first church in Jerusalem. There are some principles I'd like to touch on briefly that speak of those foundational truths, those foundational qualities that have made First Baptist Church Stockdale what it is, and also the encouragement to keep pressing toward that mark. Keep pressing toward the mark. So in Acts chapter 2, well, let me just say this. I was also the opportunity to be a part of the building of the fellowship hall too, and just thrilled with the new building coming up too. But in this sanctuary, the theme that we used during that time was opening new doors for generations to come. Opening new doors for generations to come. It was kind of a play on words, the idea that we're opening the doors, but also for the generations upon generations to come. So the passage that we see in Acts chapter 2 gives us some of those foundational truths and some of those doors that can open and those doors that open to even greater ministry. So in Acts chapter 2, if you know that, that's the Pentecost, that's the giving of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection has taken place, the ascension has taken place, and they're waiting upon the Holy Spirit, and suddenly out of nowhere the Holy Spirit comes upon the room, and these disciples that were fearful and just didn't know quite what to do next, suddenly they were empowered with the Spirit of God. So immediately the first thing that was done is Peter preach the sermon. So the first foundational truth that I believe that a growing church ought to have is quality biblical preaching, the preaching of God's word. After the sermon, 3,000 people responded and they believed. It's a core part of who we are today. Now, I've had people come up to me after I preach a sermon and say, "Pastor, thank you for preaching the word." And I look at them blankly like, what else would I be preaching? But apparently preaching is not as popular as it used to be. But to come and to open God's truth, open God's word, and to say it's not just my opinion, is not just something that we talk about, but God's word says this, to stand upon the truth of the word of God. It's a foundational truth that we are to have and we are to follow as we look into the future. And it opens doors. Now, some have noticed that Paul's sermon was not that long, and yet it had great results. Now, I'm not sure exactly why people would point that out to a preacher, but that's the case. You may have heard about the preacher that came to church with a big Band-Aid on his chin, and after the sermon, someone asked him what happened. He said, "Well, I was thinking about my sermon, and I cut myself." His parishioner said, "Well, next time, think about shaving and cut your sermon." I have heard that a good sermon is a strong introduction and a strong conclusion, and to keep them as close together as possible. It's also difficult at times to capture people's attention. Now, Kevin, I don't know about Stockdale, but sometimes people actually fall asleep during the sermon. It's dangerous when you realize that in today's technology, we carry our microphone with us, and we could actually come down to the pew and tap you on the shoulder, perhaps. Studies have shown if you put the people that sleep in church and put them end to end, that they'd be a whole lot more comfortable. When I first came to Stockdale, someone said to me, "You know, Pastor, we had a preacher here that somebody fell asleep, and the preacher was upset, and so he went up to the preacher, to the prisoner that fell asleep, and said, 'I noticed you fell asleep during my sermon.' And the man said, 'Well, yeah, preacher, but you know, notice I was awake when you started. Yeah, I was awake. Yeah.' And so I think he told me that just in case he ever did fall asleep. But the key foundational truth in the open door is to open God's word. The second foundational truth, which is also in the passage and is true then and today, is they devoted themselves, in verse 42, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So the teaching of the Word of God, not only the preaching and the proclamation, but teaching, Bible studies, weekly studies, personal devotions, living our lives for Christ and living for the truth. The third thing is fellowship. Let me focus on this a moment. Verse 42 again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the people's courts. Fellowship is more than just gathering together and eating together. Though it's an important part of us as Baptists, obviously. But the core part of gathering together and eating together is that fellowship in the unity of the Spirit of God. When a little boy was asked to define fellowship, he said, "I guess fellowship must be two fellows in one ship." That's not a bad definition. It's not a bad definition. Two fellows in one ship, they go up and down together. They go back and forth. They're together for a common purpose. Fellowship is gathering together like we're doing today on a Sunday morning. Not just a random selection of people. We're not just here because we happen to come in and we decided to spend time together. But rather, we're a family, aren't we? We are family. We are together, and there are unique needs that we see within our congregation. There's a uniqueness of people and problems and joys and victories and all those things. And the great thing about a body of believers is we can come together and we fellowship. We are certainly together in one ship. Fellowship is encouraging and praying and supporting one another. True fellowship then moves us to action and to mission. Fellowship's an outward display of our inner beliefs. They, as the song says, they know we are Christians by our love. You see, fellowship means that we're together even during hard times, during difficult times. The great thing I love about First Baptist Church Stockdale is when Susie and I left, we didn't just leave and go away and you forgot about us, but you loved us. And by the way, let me just say with my wife, Susie, some of you, when I said that the Lord was leading us elsewhere, you were saddened. But when you realized that Susie was going with me, you were overwhelmed. It was like, no, she cannot leave. And that's been the case every time. She's been right there. Many of you know that my wife, Susie, passed away this past March after our 42 years of marriage. And many of you, and all of you were there to pray for me and pray for our family and to give us strength. Some of you made the trip to Whitney and came for the service. You see, that's fellowship. That's that unity of the Spirit. That's the joy that we have in Christ. That we're not just random people doing random things, but that God is leading us all along the way. And we do so together. The early church experienced that. And for us, as we continue to grow and continue to move and build the kingdom, that's a quality that nothing in the world can replicate, but only through the Spirit and the power of our God, sharing our lives together with the unbreakable bond of Christ. So this morning, congratulations on your anniversary. Congratulations on the celebration. Take time to, as we continue to move next door, to look at days past and look at those pictures and talk about those stories. but also to take the truth of the Word of God through the preaching and teaching and fellowship and add to that other doors of ministry through youth ministry and children and music and all those doors that open all around us that the Spirit of the Lord guides us. Open new doors for generations to come and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each of us to give us the strength that we need to follow Him. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father, we do thank You for Your truth. We thank You, Lord, that we live in a world that there's so much uncertainty and we're not quite sure what to turn to the left or the right and, Lord, what's around the corner. But, Father, we thank You for the certainty we have in You. Father, guide us as always that we can have that attitude and knowledge and reminder, Lord, that You are with us each step of the way, no matter where our life leads. Father, we do pray, Lord, for times of remembrance and times that we can reflect upon the greatness and the great ways in which You've worked in our lives and You continue in our lives, and Lord, for the great activities that have been part of this church. But Father, we also pray, Lord, that You will guide us, that we can keep our eyes fixed upon You, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and Lord, to celebrate the great things You have in store for us on this day and the days to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.